I moved out on a Tuesday night, leaving Jill and the kids, believing that that was the best for everyone. I had been nursing emotional upheaval for years. And when I say years, I mean it. My whole life, probably until childhood or since childhood. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't have said that I was doing that. I didn't even understand that I was nursing that upheaval, but I had been. I think those kinds of messages that I had been telling myself, and when we have that negative self-talk, they can feel like your friends because they're with you for years. They're with you your whole life. You think they're telling you the truth.
Right, right. That's the thing about self-talk, is it's so familiar to us. That's why we are really going on this journey to begin to understand self-talk, so that it is the places where maybe we're not even realizing that our thinking is affecting our feelings, and our feelings are affecting our actions, and our actions are affecting our results. We're becoming more aware of.
Right. So my negative self-talk was pulling me away from Jill. Mm-hmm. It was building a wall between Jill and I, and it fueled my discontent, which fueled the actions of discontent, which was me shutting down and leaving.
Exactly. And one of the places that I know that you've experienced some of the greatest growth is in not letting those emotions run rampant.
Right. In fact, emotions run rampant. We call that emotional diarrhea.
And you had some serious diarrhea.
I did. It was bad. Oh, and I know that sounds gross.
It does.
But it was. It was. You should have been up here. It was bad.
Well, and we need to understand this, because probably many of us struggle with emotional diarrhea. Mm-hmm. That was not my problem. I had the opposite problem. Emotional constipation. I know that sounds weird, but I was all wrapped up emotionally and was not in tune with my emotions. They were boxed up. I thought that they were not valuable. Mm-hmm. And so I was not in tune emotionally. So really, while Mark was maybe more in tune emotionally, his emotions were running the show.
Right.
And in my case, my emotions were so boxed up, I wasn't able to emotionally connect to other people.
Mine were running the show and yours were stopping the show.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Very much. You're exactly right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so what we need to understand is that we probably fall in one of those two camps or somewhere in between. Mm-hmm. When it comes to emotions, our thoughts feed those emotions. And our thoughts don't always tell us the truth. So that's what we've been focusing on these last few months. And we've been talking about specifically 2 Corinthians 10:5 that says that we're to take every thought captive. We've talked about Proverbs 23:7, as a man thinks, so is he. And that's not just talking about guys, okay? That applies to us as women, too, right, even though they're using the male pronouns there. And so what we need to understand is that our thoughts are not always telling us the truth as it relates to emotions. So we're calling this particular video Emotion Commotion, because there's a lot that's going on up here as it relates to emotional health. And quite frankly, most of us need to increase our emotional intelligence.
Yeah.
And that's really what we want to do today. And we're going to do it by looking at some very common thoughts that people have about emotions. Some of these are thoughts we've had. Mm-hmm. Some are thoughts that we have heard couples that we're coaching, statements that they have made. Mm-hmm. And so we're going to take those thoughts, but we're going to First, make us aware if that thought is there, and then we're going to also move us into some truth to replace that thought with.
Right.
Because remember, our thoughts affect our feelings affect our actions affect our results. If we want different results in our marriage, if we want different results in our relationships, we have to go back to our thoughts, to thoughts, which will then fuel emotion and feelings. And we want to feel, we want to fuel positive feelings and positive emotions when we can. Mm-hmm. If there are negative, we don't necessarily want to shut down negative emotions. We just don't want to let them run the show. We want to be aware of them. We want to address them, but not let them run the show. Mm. All right. So with that in mind, let's look at some common thinking about emotions.
So thought number one, emotions indicate weakness. People who are emotional are weak.
Truth number one, emotions are actually God-given. There is a strength when we have emotional intelligence.
Absolutely.
So if you want evidence of this, look to the Bible, okay? There, God's emotion, Jesus' emotion, is all through the Bible.
Yeah.
And we're created in His image. So emotions are designed to allow us to process life. And they are God-given. Mm-hmm. We just have to recognize that they don't always tell us the truth. And that's when we let emotions run the show. But if we don't tune into our emotions, because emotions are oftentimes red flags. Mm-hmm. They're red flags that something's wrong in a relationship or needs to be addressed. They're red flags that maybe there's something inside of me that I need to address. Like one of the things as we are looking at our thinking is we need to recognize that when we feel a negative emotion, when we feel that negative emotion, we need to evaluate the thought that is fueling that. Okay, this is a great example. Our friend Jill shared this one with us. And that is, let's say that all of a sudden you are in a traffic jam. Okay? So there's all these cars. There's a red Honda and a white Honda, and they're both stuck in the traffic jam. The guy in the red Honda is so frustrated because he is on his way somewhere and he is ticked because this has gotten in his way of being able to get where he needs to go. The guy in the other car is listening to a podcast, and he is so excited that the traffic has stopped because he can now finish the podcast before he gets to where he's going to. Same situation.
Mm-hmm.
One is fueling frustrating thoughts, and then that is going to produce actions, maybe road rage, anger, blame, frustration, whatever. And the result is going to be a really emotionally tied up person whenever they arrive to where they're going to arrive. Hmm. The other one sees this as a positive. And so then their action or their fueling, their thoughts is grateful. Hmm. And then their actions are at peace.
Hmm.
And then their results are the peace as well.
Hmm.
So that's why we want to understand this. Emotions are not a weakness, but they are fueled by our thinking.
Yep. Thought number two, having strong emotions means that I'm out of control.
Hmm. But here's truth number two. You can feel deeply and not be out of control. You can learn to wisely respond to emotion rather than unwisely reacting to them. Yep. This is the difference between reacting and responding.
Mm-hmm.
So we can feel very strongly about something, but we can learn to respond to it rather than react to it.
And this has been a powerful one for me because I tend, if I'm operating when I'm tired or stressed, if I have too much going on in my schedule, I can overreact to situations and I can feel strongly but I have to evaluate, why am I feeling so strongly?
Mm-hmm. All right, that takes us to thought number three. And that is, you cannot change emotions. It would be wrong or inauthentic to do so.
But truth number three is you can change emotions. It's part of being emotionally healthy, and it always starts with your thinking.
Yeah. So for example, let's say that there is a family event and it's on the other side of the U.S. and you really want to attend it, but the only way you can do that is to fly. All right. So fear is an emotion. And if you really want to get to that family event, you can begin to deal with that fear. And as you deal with that fear, you actually are changing the way you think about it. You are changing the way you feel about it. And so then you'll change your actions towards it and it'll produce different results. All right. That takes us to truth number four. Oh, sorry, not truth number four.
Thought number four.
That takes us to thought number four. My emotions always tell me the truth.
Well, truth number four is that just because you feel something doesn't necessarily mean that it's true.
So
our emotions will lie to us.
Yeah. Well, and emotions are really about how we interpret an event.
Yeah.
They're not about the event itself. The event itself is neutral. It's how we interpret it. Again, back to the, you know, being stuck in a traffic jam. Two people have the exact same event and they interpret it in two different ways. And therefore, their thoughts inform their feelings in a certain direction. Hmm. And then those feelings will inform their actions, which will inform their which will produce the results. And so what we have to realize is it's about how we interpret the event.
Yeah. Thought number five, other people know better than I do what it is that I feel.
Truth number five is you're the only one who knows what you feel. You may not be confident in assessing your feelings. That would be me, the one that's been more emotionally constipated in the past. I'm not super confident in identifying what I'm feeling. And so that's why for many years, Mylan and Kay Yurkovich have a list of words called soul words, printed them off the internet, and keep those on a refrigerator and places I can see because it helps me to identify what I'm feeling. So there's no way. Mark may be more in tune with his own emotions, but just because he's in tune with his own emotions doesn't mean he's in tune with mine. That's almost like a cop-out. So if we feel like others better understand us, it's a reminder that we probably need to be more intentional about assessing our own emotion and about being emotionally intelligent, increasing our emotional intelligence.
Yeah, yeah, good point. I remember early on in our marriage that I didn't understand my feelings either. And before we had the soul words, and before emojis were popular, we had a poster that hung
had different faces.
Yep. So smiley face, sad face, angry face. And I literally would have to look at that poster to determine how I felt.
Right. And one of the things that I realized is, if you'll remember, one of the things you realized is that you you only knew happy and sad.
Right.
There are so many other emotions in the range of emotions, but you were only familiar with happy and sad. Mm-hmm. So you needed, even though you could more tune into that quicker,
right,
you didn't understand the breadth of it, and you had to grow emotional intelligence in that.
Yeah.
Whereas I needed my emotional intelligence had to be for tuning into whatever I was feeling.
Right.
Because I was so steady, which honestly, steadiness is a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I was so steady then I also wasn't in tune with myself. Therefore, I wasn't in tune with others. Okay. That takes us to thought number six. If I start crying, I will never stop.
Truth number six, avoiding emotion doesn't make it go away. In fact, if we avoid emotion or try to hide our emotion, it will actually leak out
mm-hmm.
or come out larger
mm-hmm.
in a big way.
Right. And, you know, what often happens is, you know, in fact, I think we wrote a blog post several years ago. It was what's going on inside of you that's leaking out all over me?
Oh, that's
Remember
right.
Remember that? That was yes. the title of it.
Yeah.
And that's a perfect example yeah. of oftentimes when we're stuffing it or we're not in tune with it, mm-hmm. that we don't understand that it is affecting. We might think, oh, mm-hmm. I'm just going to swallow it. But the truth is, it is leaking out in some way. Maybe it's in your tone of voice.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's in your attitude. Maybe it's in the short answers that you offer. Maybe it's you feeling insecure. Mm-hmm. So it is going to leak out. So what we need to learn how to do is to recognize that emotions are red flags
mm-hmm.
that to say, hey, something's off.
Right.
Something's off. And one of the first places to look at, because remember, thoughts feed emotion. So the first place to go is, what's my thinking right now?
Yeah.
See, we're not used to doing that.
No.
We're used to starting at feelings and letting them guide the way. But what we want to do is back up what we've been learning to do, and we've seen it make huge improvements,
mm-hmm.
is that we are backing up and taking a look at those thoughts that are fueling that feeling.
Right.
And that really, we need to understand that if you are fearful of the emotion, because you're like, if I let go, I'm just going to cry and I won't be able to stop. You know what? You may need to cry for quite some time. That's okay. Mm-hmm. Let yourself do it. There's nothing wrong with that. What you'll begin to learn to do, though, is to feel emotion in the moment instead of stuffing it, and then it all comes out.
Right.
That's why you feel that way. But if you will learn to experience it in the moment, if you'll begin to evaluate your thoughts and how they're fueling that emotion,
mm.
and if those are appropriate thoughts or inappropriate thoughts,
right?
What a difference that can make.
Yep.
And then we're at the last thought, and that is, it's better to be rational than emotional.
Well, truth is that we are designed to be both rational and emotional.
Yeah. In fact, here's the deal. God made us to yeah. be both.
Yes, he did.
He made us to reason and to experience emotion. And we mm. are our best selves when we can do both.
Yeah.
Oftentimes in a marriage, one person is more a thinker and one is more a feeler. Oftentimes that might be a clue that to the type of emotional response you might have. Like, for instance, many feelers can have emotional diarrhea.
Hmm.
Many thinkers can have emotional constipation.
And that would describe Jill and I. Because
Absolutely.
I'm a feeler. I tend towards emotional diarrhea.
And I'm more of a thinker and certainly operate more out of that reason and logic, which there's nothing wrong with that. I just have needed to learn how to balance it with emotion.
Yeah.
And you've had to learn how to balance emotion with reason and logic.
Right.
And right. so we're becoming better versions of ourselves, and therefore we mm-hmm. are experiencing a better version in our marriage.
Absolutely.
When yeah. I'm a better me, we're a better we.
Yep.
And that's really what that's all about. So this month, what we want you to do as you are continuing to think about thoughts is we want you to change your thinking about emotions. Which one mm-hmm. of those seven thoughts is the one that you do most often? Maybe it's all seven. Maybe it's just one or two of those. But evaluate your thoughts about your emotions. Change your thoughts. So start replacing those thoughts with the truth that we shared.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So that's the first one. The second one is identify which truth you need to embrace. Put them in front of you. We just gave you seven truths. Put those in front of you every day in some way. On your refrigerator. Maybe make note cards. Put it in your phone. Whatever you need to do.
Also, what you're identifying within yourself if your spouse is doing this with you, mm-hmm. share that with them. And if they're not doing this with you, then share it with a friend, possibly. It just will help to generate some discussion and some accountability.
Yeah, and at any time we talk about something, it drives it deeper inside right. of us. Even if your spouse is unwilling to do No More Perfect Date Night with you, it's okay for you to maybe share with them what you're learning about yourself.
Right.
That may be a safe thing to do as well.
Yeah.
For those who have emotional diarrhea, learn how to feel deeply, but not let your emotions run the show.
Yeah.
And for those of you who, like me, have emotional constipation, learn how to embrace your emotions and not let your lack of emotion stop the show. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So this is Mark and Jill Savage with a reminder that you can change your mind and change your marriage.